Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I just thank you for all of the testimonies, the young people, the blessings that have gone on today. This is definitely a day in service of blessing. Thank you for the food that was done and the hands that labored for the food. And Lord, and just the attitude of our church, Lord, I just thank you for it. And Lord, just use me, Lord. I'm not a preacher. I'm just here to serve you. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless the congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, and I'm not sure if everybody knows where the Thanksgiving, where it came from. But first of all, Pastor has something on the TV. I'm not used to doing this. I used to speak years ago or decades ago at another church, and we didn't have all of the technology that we have today. So I wanted to start at least with, I could see that there's a lot of thankfulness today. But Pastor has here, he gave me this thing, and I don't know where it came from, but he said, okay, the eternal truth that we have today is learning to be grateful is about much more than just your immediate circumstances. You can't let what's going on in your life, whether good or bad, determine the level of thanksgiving in your life. And thanksgiving, just looking at it and looking at this time, we think back of what our country has gone through, but also the blessings and the things that God has gotten us through also. But I wanted to start at least with, why do we have Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving started somewhere, it started, at least the first Thanksgiving feast was in 1621. Just to give you an idea of the first Thanksgiving, first of all, there was trials. There was a group of pilgrims that were in England, and that group of pilgrims did not have freedom of religion. They didn't have freedom of choice. Due to their religious persecution, they left England and they traveled to one of the 13 colonies on a ship called the Mayflower. Their reason was for freedom, as mentioned, to practice their faith. There were 102 people that sailed on that ship from England. They arrived at Plymouth Colony in 1620. The winter of that colony caused the loss of about half of the persons who came to America at that time. There was hardship, as I mentioned. Most of them, because of the winter when they arrived, they remained on the ship. They didn't even come to the land. And like I said, half of them had died. After the first winter, they received a visit from a Native American named Squanto, who taught them how to cultivate corn. If, by the way, you read the Bible, I have a King James Bible, it uses the word corn in the Bible. It's not the corn that we know. It's usually considered a corn of wheat or something, a grain that comes from the wheat. They learned to cultivate corn. They learned to extract sap from the maple trees, and they learned to avoid the poisonous plants. He helped them forge an alliance with a local tribe called, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, but the Wampanoag tribe. And from that time, they had gotten God's blessings. So in the fall of 1621, it was around November of 1621, after the first corn harvest, because they were taught how to grow corn and other things, the pilgrims invited the Native Americans to share in the blessings that was bestowed upon them from being in the land. The menu at that time did not include turkey, by the way. So just for that, I don't have turkey in my house. Not really for the fact I don't particularly care for turkey, but we don't have turkey in my house, by the way. But again, the menu included fowl, the harvest that was cultivated at that time, and the Native Americans who were invited to the to get together, they provided deer for the meat also, as well as spices. The celebration at that time lasted for 3 days. So they really gave thanks. They gave thanks for a couple things. They gave thanks, first of all, for the opportunity to practice their religion and do it freely without any persecution, and also the fellowship that they had with the people that were of that land. So what is Thanksgiving about? And that's the next of our items. Thanksgiving is the celebration of gratitude. It's about God's many blessings. And Psalm 34 verses 1 to 7 is, do you have that, Pastor? In small letters for people in my age, by the way. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps all around them, those who fear him. Now, if you didn't know that, first of all, gratitude resonates in our faith. But David, at this time, he wrote this psalm, if you didn't know, and if you read the title of that psalm, it says that he actually was with a group of Philistines, where he went to this land where there was a king of the Philistines, and he stayed there. And they knew David, and they knew of David. David was the man who killed Goliath. David was the enemy of the Philistines. He killed Goliath, and also there were songs that were sung about David, where the songs that were sang said, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And so people said, is this the man that's here? And the Bible says, because what David heard that came from the people, David acted like he was a crazy man. And that's the way he lived at that time. Until the king said, this guy's crazy. We need to get this guy out of here. But David realized that God was keeping him and God was protecting him. So David gave thanksgiving he gave thanks for what God did for him. He trusted God, and in verse 7 it says, God protected him. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and deliver them. So David showed his thanksgiving. And thanksgiving for us is, and I know, I mean, I've heard the testimonies, and I think some of the testimonies were better than what I speak. But thanksgiving is not just about saying thank the Lord. Thanksgiving is an understanding that God is there. He keeps us. He keeps us even through the hard times, even through the trying times, he keeps us. And he hears us, by the way. There's no prayer that we could speak, we that are Christians, that God does not hear. And it's just like, by the way, I mean, you go and talk to your father, and a number of us, our fathers aren't around, but you go and talk to your father, and you ask him something, you tell him about a need, you tell him you're in trouble, and what does a father do? The Father's there to help you, and that's what God, our Father's there to do even more than our earthly fathers. So he keeps us, he hears us, and he sends his angels to protect us. So it's just a thing to be thankful for. And so going to I'm trying to do this quickly because I know we're running out of time. So what am I thankful for when I give thanks? First of all, I'm thankful for family. The Bible says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And I could tell you, but when I was introduced to my wife, I could speak and say, I wasn't introduced to her to go find her. And she wasn't even interested in me. But I could tell you that God put us together. Amen. Two people that were not even supposed to be together. God put us together. I could tell you the story about it, but my wife, if she's here, she'd probably beat me up. But a little bit over a month ago, Martha and I celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary. It's only the grace of God, by the way. It is. I was a foolish person when we got married, and she probably wanted to go home. The one thing, and Martha told me this, and I tell it, and she'd probably get mad at me for doing this. But when Martha and I eloped, that's how we got married. Like I said, it wasn't a planned thing for us. We eloped. And Martha went home for the first time because we eloped. She's from Virginia. Went to Virginia, drove to Virginia, picked her up, brought her home. We ended up getting married. Martha went home to meet to talk to her mom and her aunt, who's like her second mother. And you know what they said to her? They said, "You can't come home anymore." And that is one thing that I'm sure she probably wanted to go home a couple times, but she remembered what her mom and her aunt said. I wasn't saved at the time. God wasn't even part of my path. I found Martha through my mother's prayers. My mother, before I even met Martha, prayed for me and prayed for my direction and where I was going to go and what I was going to do. She prayed for my salvation. And she prayed that I would find the right companion, because I had some crazy people that wanted to be my companion. But my mother, one time my mother, somebody stalked me and came to my house one time, and my mother said, "What are you doing with that person?" And that's the way my mother was. And I mentioned about my mother-in-law and my aunt-in-law and what they did. But God gave me the perfect person. Martha is completely the opposite of me. Everything that I am, she's not. Everything that she is, I don't have anything to do with that. We're completely opposite almost. She talks a lot, believe it or not, and I don't talk too much. She's more outgoing, and I'm not as much outgoing. But we are actually of the perfect match, and I'm just praise God for her. I praise God for my kids. Is there something there for kids, by the way? No? Okay. My kids drive me crazy. Some they drove me crazy. They're all grown now, and my oldest son. It's so interesting. When I talk to my oldest son, I think I'm talking to myself, because he's almost exactly like me. He says things, he's like direct, you know, get it out and get done with it and let's get out of here. That's the way he is. That's how my oldest son is. My daughter calls me every day to make sure that I'm still alive. She that's what she does. And my youngest son, he's a blessing also. I also my church family. I praise God for my church family. I do praise him for that. Because I don't even know what to say about our church family. We've changed. We've gone around a little bit with, you know, people leaving and people here. But I could say this about the church family that we have now. And I say this with how do I say it, out of slight ignorance, because I'm not in the church service as much, but I could see the love that we have in our church. I could see that. And I do praise him for that. I praise God also for salvation. I praise God for John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sought us when we were not seeking him. That's what God did. He sought us. And also Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13, what the kid said, if you recite it today, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just thank him for that. I also thank him also for the fact that the kids can drive me crazy sometime in junior church. But those kids are good kids. They're loving kids. And they try and they spend time learning the Bible verses. So I do thank him for that. By the way, I called on the name of the Lord. And that's why I'm standing here right now. I wasn't the reckless young man that was early married. It was because of my mom. By the way, I'm gonna mention something about how I got saved. Well, something that led me to getting saved. If anybody here, I know there's some older people that are here, remember Oliver B. Green. Oliver B. Green, I think he still comes on the radio, but you don't hear from him too much anymore. And I was talking to somebody in our Sunday school about this. My mother, I would come home. I worked 5 minutes away from my mom's house, and I would come home for lunch every day when I was a young man. And my mother would turn up the gospel hour and have Oliver B. Green preaching right in my face while I'm eating lunch. Right in my face. And I didn't get it, and I didn't understand it then, but after time, when additional verses were given to me, that's what I remembered. And I remembered how my mother would do that. And that is from my mother. I praise God for security. For Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we were saved by works, we would have problems. All of us would. But I praise God because he saved us. First of all, he sought us because he sent his son for us. And then he saved us for nothing that we did. And all we did was receive the free gift of Jesus Christ. And that's what we have. And that's how we're saved. So I praise him for that. I praise him for the security. Nothing, as I mentioned, nothing that we did. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm in the hand of Jesus, and I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost, and I'm also covered by the hand of the Father. So I praise God for my salvation and my security. I praise God for the trials that we go through. I listened to some of the testimonies today about the trials that people went through. But I'm gonna read the verses. My brethren, count it all joy in James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And it says, and also in 2 Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith and ready to be revealed. Well, that's not about security, by the way, or the trials. I could tell you about trials. My testimony about trials are a year ago and a year and a week and a half ago, I went through surgery to repair a rotator cuff tear. I went through surgery to repair my bicep was torn, and I had bone spurs in my right arm. January 15th of 2024, I went to walk my dog in the morning. It was Martin Luther King's birthday, so I was like taking advantage of the day off. I walked my dog in the morning. I got home from walking the dog, and all of a sudden I started having the shakes all over the place. And I called my wife. She took me to the hospital. And they just said, they said that I live, by the way, from there. They identified an infection in me that I lived with for almost 6 months from that time that I couldn't get rid of. I took so much antiseptics or whatever it is to help me. None of it helped. Until around June, where I had to have additional surgery because of that infection, and I got through that for a period of time. And by the way, after that surgery, Martha said, "I'm going to check your temperature." My temperature from that day in June 10th, she checked my temperature, and my temperature was like 103 degrees. And she said, "I'm going to take you to the hospital." She took me to the hospital. They said, "Well, we're going to do some CT scan on you." And they said, "You have some problem with your heart. You have this, the wall in your heart is very thin." And they said, "No, it can't be that." And they said, "Well, we're going to keep you in the hospital." And they kept me in the hospital for a few days that time. Then come to find out later on, I found out that it really wasn't the issue, by the way. But it was due to this infection that I was getting through. But I will say this to you. About 2 months after that, God healed me from that infection. So guess what? I had to have another surgery for my other shoulder. So I ended up with surgery for my other shoulder. And by the way, I had to go see the heart doctor. The heart doctor said, he said to me, "There's nothing wrong with me. I don't feel any issue with my heart at all." I said, my resting heart rate is in the 50s. I don't have an issue with my heart. He said, "Well, then we need to go check it." And so he went and checked it, and they said, whoever took that first CT scan, they did it wrong, or maybe I got healed. Maybe that was the case. But I'll say that God got 2024 was a year of trial for me, but God got me through the 2024. The other thing is do we have 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 7? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again through a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now through for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. By the way, I wanted to let you know, through all of the trials that I went through in 2024, and 2024 is not over yet, by the way, but through all of the trials that I went through, I never said, why, God? I never said that. In fact, when the person said to me, you know, one day you could just keel over and die because of this issue in your heart, I just said to myself, I'm ready. I'm ready. In the words, in the words of Randy Scotton, you can't threaten me with heaven. I thought about that, Aunt Cassia, by the way. Blessings. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Those verses are almost a life testimony for me and my verses, and all of the blessings that we had. And last one that I'll mention, Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God of our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I just praise God for the grace of God and the blessings. And there's so many things to be thankful for, so many things, and I just praise him for that. And I'll just close in prayer. I'm going to check my watch, see if I have a couple more minutes. Somebody just text me, by the way. They told me to stop it. Anyway, that's Mark, by the way. All right, thank you for hearing and listening to me. My testimony, I could say so much about. I do want to say one more thing. Very simple. David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And I just thank the Lord for that. I could say that is my life's testimony. My life's testimony. Thank you. And we'll pray, and then I'll turn it over to Pastor Momo. Or Pastor Gary, he has it. So thank you. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for these that are here. I just thank you for our church family, for the love that we have for each other, Lord. I thank you for all the blessings you bestowed upon us. And just pray that you'll bless each person here as they leave this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
All right. We are going to close. And by the way, I thought Pastor Ansu was going to get up and go over to the keyboard, but he didn't. Couldn't do it. Thank you all for your patience. And I want to say this. Isn't it amazing all the great things that God is doing in our lives? Amen. We could testify all day, really, to all those things. And some of you are saying, well, I want to go. So I want to tell you, yeah, there's a chance. New Year's Eve, we have a long time. So kind of let us know if you want to go. You know, even before that, a different time, we'll do that. But we just thank God for all the things that he's doing in our midst, and we want to just give him praise and thanksgiving for that. So We're not going to sing another. Rosemary, you want to sing another hymn? Rosemary said no. Okay. All right. See, by the way, Rosemary, praise God for her. Doing a great job. Our praise team, just awesome, right? But when she says no, we listen. So we're going to close with a word of prayer. I'm just going to have my brother, Pastor Ansu, pray us out. If you're a visitor today, or you came and you didn't get a chance to get one of our token little gifts that just remind you of your visit, Deacon Ed Jackson is right back there in the conference room, and we'd love to give you that just to commemorate your visit, and we hope to see you back in God's family right here again. So Pastor Ansu is going to pray us out. And by the way, food pantry, there is so much stuff. Please take home the boxes. Otherwise, me and Pastor Ansu have to throw them out tomorrow. And it's his birthday. So you got to take them home, right? Take them home, all right?
Let us stand to be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all that you've done, oh God, in our lives each day, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We just thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, giving us hope. Lord, we thank you for all the testimonies, oh God. We thank you for your word that was brought forth, encouraging our hearts not to ask you why, but to just praise you and be thankful even in trials, even in situations that we cannot comprehend. We say, be glorified, Lord. And as we celebrate your birth coming up, oh God, Christmas, we just thank you for Jesus again. And just go with us through the week that we'll be thankful every single day of our lives. We give you the praise, we give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.